Hello and welcome to Fox Force 5. Feeling chipper today. How is everybody? How are you, Nicola?
It's been the first few minutes just giving out about one thing after another.
I'm well.
I'm well. Have a sick house. The dog is sick. The baby's sick. The teenager was sick. She's finally gone back to school, the creator. And so we've like House of the Condemned. But other than that, I'm not sick yet, so I'm happy.
Yeah, good for you.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I've got a head cold, so yeah, and Effie was sick, so, and I'm going to sneeze. Otherwise, we're pretty okay. Easter is over, thank God. It seemed to have went on for about 3 months. And we had
I was confused about that, because your holidays are the week after kids go back to school.
Yeah, so it was a bit like Monday. Yeah, we had a lovely weekend with yourself and your pal Elaine over. And Estelle and Effie got their hair cut on Saturday. And Estelle normally has red curly hair, and the hairdresser blow dried it straight for her, and honestly the child was made up. and she was like hanging on to it, and I was like, look, we're gonna have to wash your hair eventually. So Tuesday night I was like, come on, we're gonna have a bath tonight, and she's like, just one more day, mom. And I was like, okay. Stretched out to Wednesday. So but it was lovely last night, because we washed it and she said, I'm a little bit sad, but I'm also happy. And I said, oh yeah. And she said, yeah, sad to see my straight hair go, but glad my curls are back. And I was like, yeah, that's great. It's a nice way to have it. So
That's such a nice way to be. Hopefully she hangs on to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so. So yeah, we'll keep building up her confidence around that. So so that was that. And like, that was the most exciting thing that happened in this house this week. looking forward to a few quiet weekends now in anticipation of a trip back to Ireland for a massive wedding at the start of May. But 'tis all go at the same time. How are you? Otherwise,
absolutely. The excitement in our house this week, besides everyone being sick, is that we got a shed yesterday.
No,
it's a beautiful little shed. Now it's definitely blocking my light a bit, for fuck's sake. But our garden looks like something out of, I don't know, Jumanji. But we have a lovely new shed. So there we go. The excitement. But we have so much outside stuff stored inside, so I actually can't wait till like that stuff is taken out. It'll give me more space again. And I also got a random tax refund from revenue from 2022 of like £300, so that was nice as well.
Free money. Happy days.
Free money. Oh, well, Jesus. Those peckers, I paid them enough. So that was nice too. It was handy, because this weekend I'm going to Killarney for dinner for our future sister-in-law, which will be lovely. And then next week I'm going to Amsterdam for Aoife's hen.
Whoop, whoop. The dam. So, oh, nice.
Non-stop in this house. But so it was handy. Handy money.
Nice.
That's all my good news.
Cool. Well, look, I don't know what the weather's like there this morning, but it's pee and rain and it's pretty cold here. So I'm going to talk about sunshine for number one. So we're going to talk about how to bag a summer holiday deal. I imagine by now, actually, most of the people that are listening to this podcast, if they're planning holidays, they've probably done it already for the summer. But you never know. Some people might be like flying by the seat of their pants. It's just like, we've those 2 weeks off. We'll wait and see what happens. So here's some tips for booking or finding cheaper summer holidays. Because obviously you've got things like school holidays. You've got the trades holidays. You've got cost of living crisis, you've got inflation, we've got, you know, international issues going on at the moment that's affecting travel industry. There's mad stuff going on. So these are some tips that might help bring the price of that holiday down. Okay, so experts advise that flexibility in choosing your travel destination is key to finding affordable flights and holidays. Raphael Giacardi, head of the UK editorial at the travel deals platform Holiday Pirates, says, if you want to book a week in Greece, Spain or any mass market destination, it's going to be hard to find a cheap flight. He suggests that travellers should consider destinations that are often overlooked by others. For example, he says flights to Mallorca, including bags, would cost about £526 for a family of three, whereas a trip to Nice, France, with BA would cost roughly £370. The French Riviera is certainly a bit cooler than the Balearics at that time of year, but it's a beautiful destination with lots to see and do for families. And to be honest, sometimes when the weather's nice. It doesn't matter how hot it is. You know, once it's nice and you can go out and be in it.
And I actually don't like it too hot, especially with kids. I think it's crazy. Like, even when we went to Spain last October, like end of September, that was really hot. That was like 26, 27.
It was
too hot, really, for the baby.
It was hotter than it was supposed to be, really, at that time of year. But so, how to search cheap flights. Flight prices are forever changing, governed by complex algorithms that cannot be fixed by using private browsing and cleaning cookies. Giacardi says, there's an enduring myth that you should use private browsing or clear your cookies before looking for flights, and that search volume impacts prices. There's no truth in that. I'm not sure I agree with him on that, but anyway. He recommends that tempted travellers should decide their budget for specific destinations and then set up price alerts on platforms such as Kayak as early as possible, as flights are typically released 9 to 12 months in advance. Weekend departures for a traditional 7-night holiday always command a premium because they enable people to have a week off using only 5 days of annual leave, he adds. Any weekday departure will require a 6th day of leave unless you can find late flights, but that will eat into your holiday time. So if you're happy to use an extra day of leave, weekly departures should save you some money. Okay, how far should you book in advance? Booking your flight early is advisable. However, if you're flexible with your flights, experts do recommend booking your flight at a later time. He says, for people who have specific requirements in terms of when and where they want to travel, booking early is advised. Prices will be fairly competitive if there's still a lot of availability in the market. But if you're flexible, it might be worth leaving it late, as certain destinations underperform against the travel company's expectations and you can see considerable price drops. The top advice is to establish a budget, find a holiday that suits your preferences and book it. For those who prefer not to handle the research themselves, there are plenty of travel deal companies that specialise in uncovering the best offers on your behalf. Should you book as part of a package? Sometimes, but not always, Giacardi says. Again, it depends on what type of travel you are. Certain companies have committed stock, which may include operating airlines or pre-purchasing hotel rooms. In this case, every vacant seat or unsold room incurs a financial loss for them. Plus, last-minute discounts can be substantial as they strive to fill these vacancies and minimise losses. Generally speaking, peace of mind is the number one benefit for booking a package because they're at all protected, basically. But when exploring destinations that are not so well served by the major tour operators, booking flights and accommodation separately often proves to be cheaper. Therefore, opting for this approach might be your best strategy for securing an affordable European deal. I learned one or two new things there, to be fair. It's funny, I think over the years I've seen, like, Jet2, we booked package holiday with Jet2 a few times, and it used to be very similar in terms of price if you booked your flight and your hotel separate and your transfer and all that. So it was kind of worth doing it just to have the protection and just not to be bothered with the faff of making however many different bookings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, it's never cheaper. It's never cheaper when I look up like the flights plus accommodation and even allowing for transfers or car hire or whatever. It's never cheaper. So I think it just comes down to, if you want to save yourself the hassle, that's all the benefit of it is, and you don't have to think about it. And the other thing is, actually, you get 20 kgs for everybody and you get 10 kgs to take on the plane for everybody. So if you were going for 2 weeks or something and you wanted to have a lot of stuff with you, then, or a baby or whatever, then there's probably a bit of a saving to be made there on the bags. But God, how complicated is our holiday lives now when we have to book so many things separately?
I know, but the one thing I would say is, and I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast before, but with Ryanair now you can do that family purchase. So if you select the family option, now it is like 40 quid, maybe more per person. But it means like everyone gets a bag. You get one 20 kg bag and everyone gets a 10 kg bag.
Yeah.
And you get your seats included and you can pay 50% when you buy the flights and 50% then 40 days before you're up to 40 days before your departure date.
Yeah.
So you can split the cost and it makes a massive difference. Like, you know, we probably wouldn't need all those bags, but just because like it's about like money now, money later.
Yeah.
And just another little tip, I don't know if I talked. Did I talk about this a few weeks ago?
Jet2 do that as well, actually. Do you get Jet2?
We have Love Holidays here.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
But actually, there has been some issues lately. It used to be TUI, and now it's Love Holidays.
Okay.
Same, well, you know, like the same logo and stuff.
Yeah.
There was some issues with Ryanair flights. If you booked like a trip through Love Holidays, Ryanair were cancelling a lot of the flights, which is really, really
And that happened us last year,
But I think they've kind of rectified it now. But there does seem to be a lot of confusion of people like turning up to the airport and boarding cards not working. And there seems to be a bit of a shit show associated with it, So I don't know what kind of put me off going that way, because I'd love to go away for a few days before I go back to work. And I've been keeping an eye on one particular week in June. And the flights are still pretty, well, about 200 and something to Portugal, which isn't too bad for that time of year, you know. But I looked at the Love Holidays thing and I don't know, it would put me off because I think it's a bit of a risk, you know. I think, and it still works out cheaper to book the flights plus your accommodation, you know, but not, no transfer. So you have to think like that's 70, 80 quid then for a transfer probably. But, yeah, that's very handy. And also, I mentioned it before, ages ago, the sky scanner to save your flights and stuff so you can keep an eye on them.
Yeah, the price alerts and all that. Yeah. The other thing is you have to bear in mind if you're booking travel from the airport to your accommodation and you decide to go with car hire, which can be cheaper than transfers if you've got a group of people sometimes, is that you can't have a drink on the plane. Remember, lads.
Yes. Yeah.
you know, that 4.5-5 hour flight, like no drink if you're driving on the other side. You know, you need to bear that in mind. That's
true. And honestly, me and Liam were saying this weekend, because actually we flew very late on Sunday night, but we went to the airport, like what time did we leave? It was like 6:15 and our flight wasn't until 10:15. But actually, we just had the nicest evening, just like pottering around and
no pressure.
Free and going to Boots, and we had dinner and we only had like two drinks, but it was really nice just to like
not be relaxed under pressure
at the airport. And the flight was on time and all that, there was no hassle, you know. So actually, although it's an awful flight time, and there was a load of pissed people on the flight too, it was actually quite nice just to be relaxed.
Was there loads of pissed people on the flight? Oh god,
there was definitely a stag or something. They all had these pedicabs on, they looked like a fucking disgrace. But you know, it's just about, I think, and I love that. I personally like being at the airport on time. Yeah, I do not like being at the airport late. It stresses me out. No. So
yeah, the other thing is, I think you find like with frequent flyers, you get why they all get lounge access and all that, because it's so much more zen in there and there's less hassle and there's less like chaos. No, I mean, it depends on what time you're at the airport. And actually that flight that's really late at night, it's quite quiet in the airport. So it's nicer. Yes. You're not like...
easier than I thought it would be. There was a few flight problems.
Oh,
bless all these creators. I saw them going through into like a corridor, and then they were like, can everyone please leave the corridor again? There's a technical issue with your plane. And I was like, 9 o'clock. I was like, oh, can you imagine? I was like, please God, let it not be our flight. But so that's all I meant. Like, you know, if you're driving on the side, it kind of takes not the good out of it. Like, obviously you don't need to drink, but I do, you know, it's nice to have like a drink on the plane or whatever.
Yeah. Keep your nerves from shredding. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Okay. Anyway, nice to be chatting about trips and stuff. We'll have to see. I have nothing booked in terms of like sunshine holidays at the moment. I'm getting a bit twitchy about it, so need to maybe start looking at next year. Okay, grand. Thanks very much. Number two.
Two.
No, it's me. Sorry.
I'm saying thanks to myself.
My brain blackout. So a big one this week that you may have heard about was the release of the Fallout TV show on Amazon Prime. I actually didn't know it was coming out, so I heard about the game. You'd recognize the logo of it. It's kind of like, well, like for people like me and you who aren't gamers, we wouldn't have a clue. But it doesn't really matter if you're into the game or not. It's quite so far anyway, we're two episodes in and it's
a bit like The Last of Us, yeah.
So it's post-apocalyptic drama, and basically it kind of starts funny because
of course it is.
You don't know. I love post-apocalyptic stuff anyway. But you don't know if it's modern times or like whatever, because it like looks really vintagey, retro, like 1960s kind of style and houses and stuff at the very start. But actually when I was looking into it, so just to give kind of a bit of a line on it, so it depicts the aftermath of the Great War of 2077. So it's an apocalyptic nuclear exchange in an alternative history of Earth, where advances in nuclear technology after World War II lead to the emergence of a retro-futuristic society and subsequently resource war.
Retro futuristic, like let's just make up words and names. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it's, but when you see,
we actually
it,
talked about retro future on here before. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's the perfect word for it. Mm-hmm. But what did we talk about it in that context?
We did. Yeah, we did, because we were talking about how there's a sort of trends for it now, where people are like, you know, modern takes on what was.
Yes.
No, modern takes on retro stuff. So I must look it up, but we definitely did. I did an item on it one episode.
But it's perfect because the first few scenes, you don't know the timeline, but then you see a robot and then you see like a picture of the landscape, like the city before the nuclear fallout, I suppose. Mm. And you can see, okay, yeah, it's mad looking, like this is definitely the future, but it's very well done. And basically it goes from there, like it's kind of character based and there's four main characters currently. But I don't know if they're the main characters as it goes on. And you see in the video game, you play a character. So you choose one of those characters. Mm. Or I don't know if it's you choose it or that's kind of each level is a different character or whatever. But that's why it kind of focuses so much on each character's perspective. But yeah, it's very enjoyable so far. You know who's in? It's actually Christopher Nolan's brother who has created. Yeah, so it's interesting because... Walton Goggins, who you'd know if you Googled him, he's mad teeth. He's in loads of stuff. He's one of the main characters in it. He was in, let me see what I could tell you he was in. You'd recognize his face. He was in Sons of Anarchy. I know him from Predators. Yeah, loads of stuff anyway. But that guy, he was being interviewed and he was like, isn't it kind of interesting that the two brothers, like 1 year apart, one does Oppenheimer, which was all about nuclear war, and then this guy does the series. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's one of the main characters. Kyle MacLachlan is also in it, who was married to Bree in Desperate Housewives. Remember?
Oh, yes. Interesting.
Yes, so he's in it. He's kind of the main character's father as well in it. And then Ella Purnell, you'll know her. She's big Bambi eyes. She's really beautiful. She was in Yellow Jackets.
Oh, right.
She's the kind of main character in the first season, Yellow Jackets. Yes. Not the second season, if you know what I'm saying.
I haven't seen the second season, so I think you might have just given something away there. But anyway, okay. Oh, yes, I know why. Right, okay.
It gives it away straight away, the first episode of Yellow Jackets. So I don't think I spoiled it, but she's in it anyway, and she's actually really good in it. So it's really good. It's all on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. It's unusual because Amazon Prime usually release like weekly episodes, but actually they're all on there.
Cool.
The first episode's quite long. It's like 75 minutes, but it's really cool. It's very violent, just to warn people. Mm-hmm. It is quite violent, but very good so far. I'm really, really enjoying it. It looks cool. Interesting characters. Like, was totally gripped the first 20 minutes as to what the hell was going on here. And like, there's certain people, just to give a bit more, that like live in vaults, and it's actually... it's kind of like more of a social experiment than anything, all these different vaults that people were put into before the...
Is it kind of people collectively trying to recover from this apocalyptic situation, or are they battling some big baddie?
It's like 200 years later. It's like 200 years later. Okay. So in the first episode, Lucy, so that she lives in one of these vaults with her, like, and it's very like clean cut, like perfect, blah, 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 this vault, and something happens and her dad, she's trying to kind of find her dad, basically. And then it goes from there. And each character has their own story.
Okay.
So I don't know. But you can tell that they're all obviously going to meet up eventually and like kind of go together. But yeah, it's brilliant. I'm really enjoying it. Well, I'm only two episodes in, but me and Jer are thoroughly enjoying it. I'm looking forward to putting it on. And also just...
There seems to be a lot of new stuff around at the moment, actually. But yeah, I haven't started anything new because I've got loads on the go. But
That Shogun this week was excellent.
I think I might be behind you. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know how. Are they dropping them weekly? I might be up to speed.
Yeah, there's one more next week. It's the final next week. Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay, cool. Great. Thank you for that. Right, number three. So our fox this week is a woman called Viola Liuzzo. She was an American civil rights campaigner. And on the final day of the historic Selma to Montgomery March on the 25th of March 1965, civil rights activist Viola was helping shuttle marchers from Montgomery, Alabama back to Selma in her car, along with a fellow activist, 19-year-old Leroy Moten. When she stopped at a red light, a car filled with local Ku Klux Klan members pulled up alongside them. When they saw Liuzzo, a white woman, and Moten, a black man, together, they followed them, pulled a gun and shot directly at Liuzzo. God. She was killed by a bullet to the head. Moten was covered in her blood and knocked unconscious, was assumed to be dead by the Klan members who investigated the crashed vehicle. The murder of the 39-year-old Liuzzo, a Detroit housewife and mother of five, shocked millions of people around the country and, along with the outrage at the violent treatment of many of the Selma protesters, helped to spur the signing of the historic 1965 Voting Rights Act 5 months later. She'd grown up in deep poverty in Tennessee, was already an active member of the Detroit NAACP when she saw television footage of the beatings of hundreds of civil rights activists by the Edmund Pettus Bridge during the first attempted march to Selma on March 7th. Horrified by Bloody Sunday, she decided to heed Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s call for volunteers to come to Selma to help in the struggle. Her husband was opposed to her plan, telling her that civil rights isn't your fight. She responded that it's everybody's fight and drove to Selma to volunteer during the 4-day march from Montgomery to Selma. She called her family nightly with updates, was thrilled by the march's success and to be contributing to what she considered the most important fight of her time. After her death, many prominent civil rights leaders, including King, James Farmer and Roy Wilkins, attended her funeral in Detroit to pay respects. The four Klan members were quickly arrested. One of the men was a paid informant for the FBI and protected from prosecution. The other three were found guilty in a federal trial and sentenced to 10 years in prison. In an attempt to obscure the fact that an informant was in the car, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover began a smear campaign to the press directed at Liu Xu, including allegations that she was a drug addict and that she was having an affair with Moton. Hoover and the FBI's role in the smear campaign was uncovered in 1978 when her children obtained FBI case documents under the Freedom of Information Act. Her death, the subsequent smear campaign and the legal fight to uncover the truth are explored in a number of books. While her story was largely forgotten for many years, her commitment and sacrifice for the pursuit of civil rights was recently received more recognition. In 2017, she was posthumously awarded the Fred L. Shuttlesworth Human Rights Award, an award named in honour of the co-founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which recognises outstanding individuals who contributed to civil and human rights. And while the loss of their mother was devastating to her children, they are deeply proud of how she lived her life and the legacy she left. Her daughter, Mary, says that when they obtained her mother's journal from the FBI, she saw her mother had written, "I can't sit back and watch my people suffer." To Lily Bow, that passage sums up what drove her mother, a devout Unitarian Universalist, to take action. She actually believed it when Christ said that the suffering and needy are our people. Mom saw all the other human beings as her people. Interesting character. One of those people who sort of maybe didn't set out to be a martyr or whatever, but kind of became one by accident, you know, which is a shame. But fair play to her. She was obviously up against it and doing what she was doing and picked out as a result of it. So, yeah, there you go. Little history lesson.
Very interesting character, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's like around that time, I'm sure there's loads of like really iconic kind of women and all their work that they did.
Probably plenty of them that were never recognized, you know. Obviously, thankfully, maybe not all of them met the same end as her, you know. So I'm sure there was lots of women who did this similar, you know, and put themselves on the line, as it were. Okay, there you go, Nick. Number
very
four.
Interesting. Thank you very much.
Four.
I have a lovely one for this week.
Fabulous.
I think it's lovely. I think it's lovely. It warms my heart, but there's a bit of a story associated with this. So the account is called, I'm just going to get the actual name of the actual account, but it's Piggy and Molly.
Piggy and Molly.
And Piggy and Molly. And basically, Piggy is a Staffordshire Terrier. Oh. And Molly is a Australian Magpie. And they are the best of friends.
Oh,
they're best friends. They're best friends. So the family that had the two dogs. So Peggy has a little girl. Peggy has a puppy as well, Maggie. And the family rescued this magpie from, I think, don't know if it was their back garden or where they rescued him from originally, but like he was injured or a chick or something. I can't remember the actual exact details, but they rescued him and they started filming like their interactions, because the two of them are like best friends. The mom and the magpie are best buddies, like playing with each other, talking to each other. The bird thinks it's a dog. It is the most joyful thing ever. Like, it's just so simple and beautiful. Aww. Like their little relationship, it's so lovely. But there's a big story about this moment in Australia, because a load of people were like, that's a wild animal, they shouldn't have it living in the house, it's not a pet, blah, 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 and started complaining about them a lot, started getting onto the local like animal welfare. And this bird like is living the life of luxury. Even like he sits on the human's shoulders and is like hand fed and is living the lap of like the life of royalty. And anyway, all these people kept complaining. So they took the magpie away from the family. And I think something like 200,000 people signed a petition to get the magpie back to the family.
Oh,
and during
God.
That time, they had to like go and get a special permit to make sure that they could handle wildlife. And that was the only reason that they could get her back. So they eventually got her back. And there's a lovely like scene of the two of them being reunited and everything. And like she's in her little crate, the magpie singing away to the dogs. And the dogs are like so happy and excited.
Go away.
So, but it's a massive story in Australia. Massive. Like,
go away.
It's so
oh, I love
funny.
It. I love
so,
it.
So, but anyway, they were reunited because the family got their like wildlife thing and all that. But people like are so fucking miserable sometimes, aren't they?
But you
they,
know really? What? Oh, it's funny because... Lauren Laverne on Six Music in the Morning, one day a week, she has a variety of sort of professors and academics that come in and talk to her about nature or I think it's called the Maths of Life, one of the segments, but it's all about like different research that's been done, you know.
Yeah.
And this week they were talking about, and I can never say this properly, it's corvids. So corvids are the group of birds that it's like crows, ravens, rooks, magpies, jackdaws, jays, all of those. And they're highly intelligent.
Super intelligent, yeah.
And they were talking about how, like they were talking about loads of different stuff, but one of the things that stood out was how they'll bring gifts, you know, if you feed them.
Yes.
You'd often find bits and bobs. Like there was one story about one of them, someone decorating pine cones with ring puns, you know, and leaving them in the trays. But it was funny because they were talking about all this research and examples that they'd given. And then one woman texted in while they were talking to say that they have two or three like bird food tables and they feed all the different birds. Like some people don't feed big birds like that, but they feed all the birds. And they'd been away on holidays for like a long weekend. And they came back and the tray where the bigger birds normally eat was full of shiny stones and pebbles and shiny things.
Oh, stop. That's
and
so
it was
cool.
Like, you know,
come back to us. We'll give you all these treats.
Come back, please. We'll keep feeding us or whatever. Like, how clever is that? I mean, a cat or a dog wouldn't do that. They're as thick as shit. You know what I mean?
Cats bring you your treats, all right?
They would. And actually, a dog would too, to be fair.
He'll be like bringing dead bunnies and everything.
Yeah. Oh my God, he is going to be deadly. I can tell it already. Do you know what he was doing when I came down the stairs yesterday? trying to open the front door jumping up that cat honestly.
People, in case you forget, he's a cat.
our new cat Milo. Well, he's not that new anymore, but yeah, he is, oh my God,
gorgeous.
Dying to get outside, but anyway,
he's a gorgeous cat. You're gonna have your hands full with him.
I might even actually, if it stops raining today, I might let him out for a few minutes. So yeah, we were waiting for him to be neutered, that's why we didn't let him out yet. Anyway,
but yeah, it's lovely little follow. If they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok, everything. There's loads of stories. I mean, look at the picture of them, like the three of them sitting
there. Stop. The three of them sitting around taking in the nice sunny day.
Yeah, okay. And like the dogs are funny because they kind of play with him and it's like, how the hell does a dog play with a magpie? But like touching his beak and that's so cute. Anyway, and I'm not a big bird fan, but it is very cute.
No, you're not. Okay, that's Piggy and Molly. Is it an I-E or a Y?
Y. It's a Y. It's P-E-G-G-Y and M-O-L-L-Y. There you go.
Stop. So cute. Okay. Thank you.
Five.
And finally, today in music news, Kneecap have shared their new single, Fine Art, as well as talking to, this was an article on Enemy, about recent controversies and what to expect from their debut album. So the rap trio have been making headlines following the, you know, boycott of South by Southwest in solidarity with Palestine and the protest against the Showcase Festival sponsorship from the US military. So they're in the middle of a North American tour at the moment and they've been making waves. They were on Jimmy Fallon and I didn't know this, but they have a self-titled movie coming out starring Michael Fassbender. And their long-awaited album, Fine Art, is due out too. And do you know who produced it? Todd Lattee, who is Annie Mac's other half. But yeah, the pummeling song is a brutal portrait of where Kneecap are at, blending hard hip hop beats with a mix of the band's quickfire Irish lyrics and some in English to really ram their message home, including "You can love us or hate us." Literally says "You can love us or hate us." The title and lyrics were inspired by the mental reaction of the media to our mural unveiling of a police jeep on fire. Before the drop is a sample of journalist Stephen Nolan, who discussed the mural on the BBC. It's him commenting on the mural as a piece of fine art. Kneecap's Mowgli Bapp told NME, "Everyone wanted us to provide some kind of massive political analysis on the mural, but we just sent the media those two words, fine art. Bakara continued. This was the first track we did with Tadla as well. It was done separately to the album as part of a standalone practice run to see if it was going to work or not. It was a pretty important track in the development of the whole album. He added that the song sets the tone of the whole record, drawing on many headlines made by the band due to their references to politics and drugs. We're using the drama of the last 2 years around Kneecap as the context for the song, he said. We're using themes, storylines, headlines and newspaper clippings about us. It's a concept album and a taster of our story. Asked if Nolan was thrilled at being part of fine art, Bap replied, "That's what I'm excited about. Someone telling him that he's sampled on our track. He'll be looking for royalties. He's one of the highest paid BB presenters on like 400k a year or some madness. I think him and Piers Morgan are best mates." Cara agreed, "I'm sure a lot of their fucking politics align."
Oh, hilarious.
Oh, they're hilarious. But anyway, they're just watch them. They're great. I don't know if you've
they're so interesting.
Their lyrics are great.
I haven't listened to many of the lyrics, but I find them fascinating. Their like story and the stuff they're doing, and the fact they showed up to the Sundance Film Festival with the like in one of those kind of military vehicle things. Like,
yeah,
so it must have been that movie that was at Sundance.
It was, I'd say, yeah. So they, yeah,
and
it
they
was.
Won. They won the best whatever.
I think you know what the thing about them is, like they're really young, and I think they have that positivity and that sort of fearlessness and that kind of romantic commitment to their ideology or whatever, and maybe it's not an ideology, but you know, they're very committed to being honest and truthful to themselves, and I think it's fantastic. I think, you know, more power to them. And but there are, even if you listen back to some of their older songs, like slagging off like members of the DUP and stuff like that, it's hilarious. But yeah, so they're highly political. They're not everybody's taste. They're always like going on about, you know, get the Brits out and all that stuff as well, you know. So you maybe want to be warned if that's not your cup of tea. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. So we're nearly out of time, Nicola O'Brien. This weekend you're off to K-Town to celebrate our sister-in-law-to-be. I'm just really disappointed I'm not going to be there, but very much looking forward to the wedding. So have a little espresso martini for me.
We shall see. No other plans. That's it. The weather is actually lovely here in Ireland. I don't want to make you feel bad, but it's lovely. It's like 13, 14 degrees, and it's supposed to be a lovely weekend.
Yeah.
Warming up next week to like 15, 16 on Monday. So, oh my God, we won't know ourselves. So that'll be nice, yes. And you're taking it easy.
I'm shopping on Saturday to try and find a dress for the wedding, which would be nice just to have a bit of me time. And Sunday we are celebrating Stuart's Uncle Mike's 70th birthday.
So that'll be nice as well.
So that's the plan for the weekend. Not an awful lot. Trying to stay off the booze now for a while in advance of the major retox at the start of May there.
And, retox.
I've signed up to do a half marathon, so I'm back on the training regime, which is killing me because I'm so unfit. But yeah, tis all go.
Was it like next weekend last year you did the marathon? When is the marathon?
Yeah, no, it's this weekend. Aww. It's this weekend. I just saw the expo open last night. Aww. I was like, oh God. God, it was such a big thing for me. Like, it was just so all-encompassing for a while.
Incredible.
So I'll be watching that on Sunday morning as well. And good luck to anybody we know that's doing it. Fair play. Yeah. It's some challenge, but well worth it. Well worth it. Aww. So there you go. Okay, Nicola, have a lovely
weekend. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.